Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And welcome back, folks, to the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side of the county, and joining us, as he does every Friday in the 9 o'clock hour, is our good friend, Teddy's dad, John U. Bacon. Bakes, how you doing this morning?
I am doing shockingly well, my friend. No complaints.
Well, last week at this time, I said, Bakes, you know, the football guys just aren't listening. Been asking the football gods to end this extension saga. It wasn't until last week after our, you know, after our back and forth, after our exchange Friday morning, that the football gods finally listened. The contract extension officially inked. I'd have to go back through my text to find the exact time that I was told, but you know, got the word from Jimmy, the extension is signed. It's done. Mm-hmm. And so that part of it was over. So now, you know, it's the process of getting back on track is formally underway. I don't think he ever stopped doing it. But you know, with the contract being cemented now, being consummated now, now the, you know, the view of the, you know, of the correction begins. And I know you covered that in a column over on the post game. So why don't you kind of take us through, you know, how you assess this deal, you know, as far as from Jim's perspective and Michigan's perspective, and, you know, how you assess the job he has to do, you know, the magnitude of the job he has to do to get it back on track.
Well, I think, first of all, good job on both their parts of ignoring us. In other words, they did their jobs. They did not react to the media. You recall Jim Hackett, 6 years ago, with everyone saying that his search was, you know, off the tracks and off the rails and so on. And he ignored it all and focused on getting Jim Harbaugh, of course. And I think Ward Manuel and Harbaugh, again, ignored all that. They didn't take the bait, and they went through whatever process they went through. They didn't lose any recruits over it, to my knowledge. They didn't lose any coaches over it, to my knowledge. So we'll see about that going forward. So you have to say that from Michigan's point of view, all is well that ends well. What I found interesting about the contract, and this is my point today in the post game, which you can get on Twitter, is that this might be the first sane big-time college football coach contract I've seen in a decade. The salaries are crazy. The salaries tend to be, we're going to pay you as if you did all the things you said you're going to do. Instead of saying, we got a lot of salespeople listening right now. What do you get? You get a salary, a base salary as it's called, and you get a lot of commission. So in other words, eat what you kill. So if you have a bad month, you can still pay your bills. That's the salary. But if you're good at this, you'll make a lot more money. That's how I think these college football and basketball contracts should be structured. We'll give you a good salary, and $4 million is not chump change for anybody. give you $4 million, and if you do all these things that, you know, you want to do, beat Ohio State, win the division outright, I noticed, win the Big Ten, win the national title, you know, big money kicks in for all those things. Harbaugh can get back to $8 million if he does pretty much all those things. Plus, I was pleased to see things in there for the academic progress report, not as much, $150,000, but how many other schools have that in their contract? I'm going to take a wild stab, Sam, that Alabama's contract with Nick Saban does not mention APR. Just a hunch. Throwing that one out there. So I thought all that was smart, but the smartest part to me was the buyout madness has been greatly curtailed in this contract, on both sides, it must be said. And you have to give Harbaugh credit, too. I mean, he agreed to all this, obviously, and they shaped it together, apparently. I think that Ward probably had the upper hand in this one, or else it looked more like the first contract. But points given on both sides. The buyout madness is just that. And look, if the Lions want to pay three coaches at once, go right ahead. It's privately owned. You want to spend your money that way, that's your business. But when universities, public universities, are paying the current coach, the former coach, and the current coach's former school, and it all adds up to, you know, $10 million or more, I got to throw a red flag on that. It's crazy. It's just crazy, and you know, paying a guy millions of dollars to do this job, I can make a case for it based on value added, based on the marketplace based on ticket sales, Nike contracts, and so on. Harbaugh has paid his way, if you look at the math. But I cannot make any case. You want to pay a guy millions of dollars to do this job? Okay, that's your business also. But why does anybody pay a coach millions of dollars after he failed to do the job? That's the part I don't get. So the buyout here is sane, $4 million to $3 million to $2 million to $1 million as the contract goes on, which is better for both sides, ultimately, if you're willing to bet on yourself. And one of the conclusions you have to draw from this is that Jim Harbaugh is often at his – I mean, look, the odds – I bet right now if he did national odds, more will probably predict Jim to fail than succeed the next two or three years. That's what he's up against. And in fairness for those folks, I think it's going to be harder – to turn around your own program in 2021 than it was to turn around Brady Hoke's program in 2014, 2015. Because in 2015, you're the new guy with new ideas, and they're tired of the old ideas, and the old ideas didn't work. Now you're not the new guy. It's not opening night. Everyone there knows you. So how do you make it fresh? How do you make it new? And that's going to be Harbaugh's challenge going forward. But I've watched Jim many years, and he is at his absolute best when he's up against it. I didn't realize until I wrote Overtime, I always saw him as the golden boy, of course, who could do no wrong and was great football, basketball, baseball, and so on, and pretty good in hockey. But his brother didn't see him that way. He's almost always up against the odds, had to beat out the Palo Alto quarterback, had to beat out, of course, guys to become Michigan starting quarterback, which is not expected to happen. Big Ten MVP, first-round draft pick, 14-year NFL career, and his coaching career was the same way. So he's almost always been the underdog, and he's betting on himself again. So, but no matter how it turns out, Michigan has taken a small step, I grant you, toward sanity. So there's the whole thing in a fire hose. Good luck with that, Sam.
You can read Bakes' column over on thepostgame.com. And earlier this week, I drew a parallel. Now, you know, basketball and football, how you do those jobs, the amount of talent you have to recruit and develop. I mean, these are different. They're apples and oranges in that way. But I do see some parallels here for Jim with where John Beilein was in 2010. You know, after his third year in the program, you might recall he inherited a program that from Tommy Amaker that had been restored to respectability, but not to contention, not to a tournament appearances. Tommy got him out of the toilet. Got the classroom and behavior, got all that cleaned up, but getting over the hump, competing with Michigan State, which had obviously become a behemoth under Tom Izzo, that hadn't happened. John Beilein comes in, gets him to the tournament in year two, but in year three, you might recall, Bakes, there was a backslide, and it made a lot of people say he will never get Michigan to the point of contending. I mean, they didn't go to the tournament, and he had a lot of L's in there, obviously. And a lot of people say he'll never compete with Tom Izzo because he'll never recruit to that level. Completely redid his staff. And I thought that staff makeover and the guys that he hired at that point and the way that they complimented him moving forward, not only on the recruiting trail, which was very visible, but also on the floor, remember, man-to-man defense.
Oh, yeah.
All screen action, things that he wasn't doing before. Just very, very impactful changes on the coaching staff, and the rest is history. I thought he was the coach of the decade in the 2010s as far as I'm concerned, and I think the staffs he hired had a lot to do with it. I see Jim at a similar crossroads. I'm curious if you see a similar parallel.
I think that's a very apt parallel for a lot of reasons. And again, as you say, you know, basketball is – you know, five guys in the court, and football, you need 22 guys ready to go, plus special teams, of course. So there's apples and oranges there, no question about it. But the basic pattern you describe is exactly, I think, what Michigan is looking at now. It was accelerated in Beilein's case. That was after his third season, of course. But he already got him back to the tournament, and once that happened, everyone kind of assumed the year before, okay, Michigan's back to where it's supposed to be. It'll be in the tournament from now on, and then, of course, the third year they drop out. So, as you said also, he made some very bold decisions on his staff, which I was not sure about. I didn't know the situation at the time. But it clearly paid off. Jim is going to – he's already in the process, of course, of making very bold decisions right there. I don't know anybody who does not think hiring Mike Hart is a really good idea. And as far as bygones be bygones, you recall that 13 years ago, these two guys were going at it. So that's right. Look, that filled your airways for a week, didn't it? So
just a week, Bakes? Wow.
Sorry, that was May, wasn't it? It was off season, so yes.
You had to talk about that for years, man.
Years. Oh, well, there you have it. But I mean, you got it. Both sides got to be bigger than that, and both sides were. Michael Hart is a great addition, and not because he's a great tailback at Michigan, still holds the record. People always, you know, talk about that. Bring back Woodson to coach the defense. Look, Woodson might be the single greatest athlete I've ever seen play football at any level. And he's become a great guy, I think, and very mature guy and generous in many ways. But he's not coached a day of football. So you have no idea if he can coach it or not. Wayne Gretzky was a pretty crappy coach. He's as good as they get. Michael Hart has been coaching. He's been paying the dues, Western Michigan, of course, Indiana and elsewhere, EMU. And he's done at every stop a phenomenal job. So that is a great hire there, and that was a problem last year, of course, with the tailbacks. So that's a great hire. We'll see about the rest of them. But that is the challenge before them. And it's up to them. And what I like about this contract is that's exactly how it's laid out. Now, look, again, $4 million is not exactly a vow of poverty, but the money's in front of them, not behind them. In other words, if you come through, you get paid. And if you don't, you know, in a year or two, it's not that hard to make a change. You go out of business betting against Jim Harbaugh as a rule. That should be noted. But he's got a challenge in front of him, same way Beilein did. And right now, he's going to circle the wagons. But I have seen Jim over the years. He's at his best with his back against the wall, and that's where it is now.
Let it never be stated ever again in any narrative, at least not one that is credence is lent to, that Jim Harbaugh's ego got in the way of, and you fill in the blank. Give me a break. That was one of the things that was put out there about the contract. And again, talking to people close to him, they said that's not going to be the case. Clearly, it wasn't. And if you still had any doubt about, you know, ego being an obstacle, there's no way you hire Mike Hart if your ego is at the forefront.
If your ego is somewhere in the middle, you don't hire him. And likewise, if Michael Hart's ego is front and center, you don't do it. If your ego is front and center, you don't sign this contract, frankly, in the first place. If it's all about, you know, what I'm owed and who I am and all this. And again, Harbaugh gets a lot of bad raps. His better sides, I found, are private. His worst sides tend to be public and the ones that people can easily pick on, basically. But people confuse ego with pride. They confuse ego with competitiveness. He's no doubt prideful and he's no doubt competitive, but the ego, again, why are you hiring Mike Hart without making any statement about it? Just, he's the best guy out there. We want him, period. So, and kudos to both those guys for, I think, a very smart move.
Yeah, and, you know, Mike, to talk about that for a second, we're talking to Johnny Bacon here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. You know, he has done an excellent job, as you mentioned, at his prior stops of, you know, going and finding under-the-radar talent and building up those rooms. I think he had Bronson Hill already at Eastern, but he goes and gets a kid that no one was recruiting out of Clarkson named Ian Erickson. He gets back-to-back freshman of the year, 1,000-yard rushers at Western. Of course, he only spent the year at Syracuse, but he goes over to Indiana and gets Stevie Scott, who, you know, the Power 5 schools were saying is a linebacker. Only the mid-majors are looking at him as a running back. And that guy's been one of the better backs in the Big Ten. So he has taken the hidden gems and shined them up. But he's stepping into an equation here. Look, Jay Harbaugh, I've said this before, I think it's wrong to look at this move as one where Jim wasn't satisfied with Jay. Jay, in the last three cycles, recruited four top 247 running backs in that room. It's absolutely loaded. You know, Mike is stepping into the type of talent that you could really dream of for the most part. So, you know, you got a couple of things at play there. You're able to add a proven developer, but he isn't being asked to do more with less now. He's asked to do more with more, and you're able to keep Jay on board as well, one of your better recruiters. Again, this checks a lot of boxes.
Well, exactly. And look, you already know better than anybody that it's a two-pronged job. One, coach the position. Two, recruit like hell. And, of course, what people don't always realize is you don't always recruit. You very rarely recruit. Guys in your position is done by region and so on. So you are recruiting somebody else's tight end, somebody else's defensive ends. So they're hoping you can recruit also. And you lost a great recruiter in Don Brown. We know that. So Michael Hart checks both those boxes, and Jay Harbaugh is still a great recruiter. So, but I will say this, that I think that, Mike Zordich, I think, has done a good job with the backs and so on, but he was a linebacker himself, I believe, at Penn State, if I have that right. But anyway, you can move around positions, I think, in most places. Tailback and quarterback are two positions, I think, where you have to have played the position to really get a feel for it. And I think that Michael Hart, knowing the rhythm of his backs, who's in the groove that day and so on, will be a great asset there. And I bet one guy who would agree with me on that one is probably Jimmy Morris. So this is a good step. Again, a lot of unknowns. But Michigan did not trap itself into the next 5 years, no matter what. And again, as I said in the article, look, thanks to COVID, they're going to lose $60, $80 million this year. That's, half a very large budget, almost $200 million this year. So, and they're going to lose more money this year, no matter what the COVID situation is. They're not going to make it all back or anything close to it. They'll probably still be in the red this year. It's a bad time to have a bad year, but it's a really bad time to have three or four bad years. So I think that this is a smart move for Michigan to set it up this way. You're not going to fill the stadium this year is my strong hunch, based partly on COVID, based also on fans not buying all the skyboxes, the reserve seats, of course, and all the rest. So or I should say the covered seats. So this is, a smart contract. It takes you out, again, 1, 2, 3 years. If they go 4-8 this year, it's probably over for both sides of that equation. But if he gets them going the way they want to get going, then it's a whole different world. But I like the fact that their backs are against the wall because that's, again, when they tend to perform best.
Yeah, it'll be, with some really good hires and with some moves in the transfer portal, they could be back on track. They could be back on track. I mean, that's the thing about what's where we are with the portal these days. You can go and get some instant help, guys that can come in and really be impactful for you. So you need some size on the defensive line, you can find it in the portal. You need some experience at the corner position, you can find it in the portal. It's going to be competition for it, but it's going to be a lot more talent there than ever before, because the floodgates are going to open now with the immediate eligibility now established across college football. So, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I guess my last one football-wise for you, Bakes, before we get to halftime and then shift over to basketball, a lot of talk about grabbing Ravens linebackers coach Mike McDonald to be the new defensive coordinator. It is definitely reflective of a deference to youth in some of these coaching moves. I'm not just talking about here in Ann Arbor. I'm just talking in general. When you look at guys like some of the young coaches that are getting opportunities. I mean, Joe Brady all of a sudden is interviewing for NFL head coaching jobs on a fast track in his early 30s. Sean McVay, another one, going back to, when he was hired on with the Rams. So, there is something to be said for young go-getters that are thought to be bright minds in their field. The flip side of that coin, though, Bakes, and I'm curious what you think about this, is, young guy, 33 years old, been a position coach, hasn't called the defense yet, and hasn't coached in, hasn't been in college since the early 2010s when he was a GA at Georgia. So I gave you both sides of the coin there. What do you think of this potential move?
We'll see. But I think that to shake things up is not a bad idea. Furthermore, and hats off to both Madison and Don Brown in their 60s and 70s, those guys did a phenomenal job on the road, but, man, I got to believe it's a young man's game. Because this is just so tiring. It's so exhausting. It's 100 hours a week during the year, during the season, and it's, 80 in the off season. it's not much of a break. So I think that's probably a good idea. Furthermore, I might be able. I think Don Brown did a great job relating to the players. In fact, I saw it firsthand. But no doubt, as a rule, younger coaches help you that way too. Of course, engaging with guys. Look, I mean, in most cases, you don't really know until they show up. I mean, I think it's Lao Tzu who said that all important decisions are based on insufficient data. And if you've been married, yeah. So, I mean, it's a leap of faith, and mine worked out, yours worked out. But you can't know everything, and you don't. Now, I'll say in the case, of course, of the new defensive coordinator, fresh from the Baltimore Ravens, I got a hunch that Jim knows a lot about that guy. I got a hunch that he didn't steal him, that it was, in fact, discussed.
Inside information there, John.
I am here today. I am accusing Harbaugh of what I think is insider trading. Possibly a family connection there. Someone should look into that. So I don't think that is exactly going in blind by a long shot. But, I mean, there's always unknowns. And, look, when you change your staff up this much, there are a lot of unknowns. And part of it is just the chemistry amongst these guys, which you can't know until you're all in the same room. Having said all that, I think your premise, Sam, going back to 2010 with the basketball coaching is exactly on. I mean, and also, this is the chance you got to take. 2-4 is not working for anybody. If that's what you're doing, it's time to mix it up. So this is a chance worth taking.
Absolutely. All right, we need to get to a break. This is halftime. We'll come back on the other side. Get into some college basketball, where Michigan is suddenly viewed not just by folks here locally as a legit contender, conference-wise and beyond, but the national pundits are saying that now too about these Wolverines, who just set a record beating three straight ranked opponents by 19 or more points. That has never happened in the history of college football, or it had never happened in the history of college football, college basketball, excuse me, before Michigan did it. We'll get into that on the other side with John U. Bacon. Stay tuned here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.